Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is good, absolutely good. He is pure. He loves His people. He loves us with an undying, unchangeable, dedicated love. And He has wisdom. He has a plan and a purpose. And I like to see people do His plan. I like to see people get involved with what the Lord has to say. From time to time, I run into people who have a relationship with the Lord. And their conversation is so much greater than those who are just saved or just Christians. But those that have a relationship with the Lord, their conversation is totally different. And I like for people to know that they can have a strong relationship with the Lord, where they dialogue with Him, where they pray and talk to Him, and He talks back to them and give them insight. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I spoke a word on a church once. It was prophetic utterance. The Lord was speaking through me. And the message was that it should be normal for people to walk and talk with God. And it's supposed to be normal. And many of you, you have that kind of relationship. The Lord bring things to your mind, bring things to your attention. Helps you understand things when you need it. And when everybody I know that has that kind of relationship, they say the most profound things, and I love it. I'm not one of these kind of preachers that I want to be the only one God talked to. No. I want everybody to have that kind of relationship. One time Joshua was offended because some of the people was prophesying. And he complained to Moses about it. And Moses said, "Why are you jealous for me?" He said, "I wish they all prophesied." And I feel the very same way. The people of God in the handiwork, doing the handiwork of God, will win even more people to the kingdom of God. And we need you, everybody, your people, your audience, the people that see you every day, they need your help. And the way you can help them is yield yourself to God. If you have a strong relationship with the Lord, you're going to win some of the people that see you every day. People at work, people that know you, people, your relatives. It works. And remember, it's not about my big ministry or your big ministry. It's one work, all headed by the Holy Spirit. Because Zechariah showed us that it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to pick up from where we left off last time. We're still dealing with end times. And in this section of end times, we want to deal with some of the things that, you know, the enemy, we were talking about the shell game, how the enemy was trying to find who is the seed of woman. The enemy didn't know who the seed of woman was, and he's trying to figure it out, and he can't. We said that we started off saying that he thought it was Abel. Then he, after Noah, he thought it was Abraham. Then Abraham had Ishmael. Then and Isaac. Ishmael had 12 sons. Isaac had 2 sons. Esau had 5 sons. And Jacob, Esau's brother, had 12 sons. Now the shell game is getting bigger and bigger, and he don't know who the seed of woman is, or who the seed of woman is going to be born through. And he's trying to figure it out. So we got to Joseph. He thought it was Joseph. And I'm going to study chapter 37. The Lord gave me some things to share. And we're still dealing with that, the shell game. The enemy's trying to figure out who is the seed of woman. And it's got to be through somebody God is working with, and he doesn't know who. Now we all know it's Jesus Christ. But he didn't know that at this time. All right, in verse 37, I refer to this scripture on the last broadcast, how Jacob, we got him to Egypt, and this is how he got to Egypt. Okay, verse 1 in chapter 37 in Genesis, it said, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bela, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him." Now they let strife get in. And you, I say it all the time. If you want to get rid of every evil work, get rid of the strife. And then the every evil work can't follow it. But in Joseph's case, this is not what his brothers did. They could not speak peaceably unto him. This happens with so many relationships. If you get in strife, you can't say nothing nice about your spouse, or whoever got you upset. It may be your boss. It's better to release that person and love that person where they're at, than to get, because something bad's going to happen if you don't. Okay, continuing. Verse 5. "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, 'Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf.' And his brethren said to him, 'Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?' And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me.' And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?' And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the same." Now, this didn't go over too good, but the Lord has a plan. And the Lord knew exactly how people would react. All right, verse 12. "And his brethren went to feed his father's sheep in Sychem. And Israel said to Joseph, 'Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Sychem? Come, and I will send thee unto them.' And he said to him, 'Here am I.' And he said to him, 'Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again.' And he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, 'What seekest thou?' He said, 'I seek my brother. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks.' And the man said, They are departed from hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.' And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him, to slay him." Verse 19. "And they said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him to some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams.' And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, 'Let us not kill him.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit. That is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Now, Reuben was trying to help. The Lord always has a safety net. They had gotten the strife so bad that they was going to murder him. They were going to murder him. Every evil work follows strife. If you don't stop the strife, something bad's going to happen. It always does. And it doesn't have to. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and his coat of many color, and his coat of many colors that was on it. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brother, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. And they passed by the Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and brought Joseph to Egypt. Now Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. And and Reuben returned to the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. When you read the whole thing, I laugh right then, because the money that they paid for the meal when they went down in Egypt, we may not read that part. But Joseph put it back in their bags. And they found money in the bag. They got nervous. But you're going to have to study that in chapter 42. Okay, continuing. And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. I skipped a verse. Verse 29. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned to his brethren and said, "The child is not. And I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is withered. Is without doubt rent in pieces." He said, "Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Now, those scriptures show us something. If God has something for you to do, if he gives you a vision, something that you're passionate about and wants you to complete it, sometimes the people of your own country and your own kin people, your own siblings, even your own parents, may disagree with it. And I'm saying this for a reason. This story reminded me of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 6. It says, now this is Jesus, and he went, this is Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended at him because he was doing miracles of God. Verse 4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. I'm going to read that again. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now, volumes is spoken by these words. If you're going to do something for God, if you're going to do what he's putting in your heart, never depend on people. Never depend on your people. I'll say it again. If God puts something in your heart to do, a work, a vision, something in ministry, anything, do it to his glory. But never position yourself to depend on people. Because people will not always believe in what you're doing. Especially if you're a musician. I've known many musicians that they write some of the most beautiful songs, but they'll never be published like they could be because they will not get the support they need from a church like they desire. And then they end up playing in secular bands. And then when they make beautiful, I've seen it on the secular side. People make beautiful music, good music. But in the secular world, they want it to be vulgar and low down, dark. And in order to do what they're passionate about, they compromise. And some people don't. They just play it at their house. Now, I know some talented musicians. I'm not just because they're my friends. Some of the songs I've heard people sing is better than anything I've ever heard. And they're still broke. Or they work common jobs as if they had no talent. The guy who sang on the song that everybody liked, Tell the People, that's Odie Berry. Odie can sing so good. When he wrote that song, he walked in the studio. And he said, what would James Brown sing? That was right when James Brown had died. He said, what would James Brown sing if he was in the studio? And he sung that song. There was no lyrics written. He just sung it. And then they put music to it. This man can do greater works than most stars that I know of. I know other musicians the same way. But if you're going to do something for God, it does not have to fail. And you can't gain success the way the world does. If you love God, and if you're serious about doing what he put in your heart to do, first of all, if God gave it to you, it's going to be impossible for man to do anyway. But get it in your heart. We do not prosper like the world prospers. We prosper by principles. We prosper by our faith. You have to believe it. You have to believe in what God gave you to do. You have to believe it in your heart. When God gave Joseph that dream was in his heart, and he did not deviate from it. Now, right before the broadcast, I wrote on paper. I usually don't write notes, but this time I did. It said, to finish the vision of God, you must first believe God, honoring him by your faith. To finish the vision of God, of the Lord, you must believe God, honoring him by your faith. In order to do that, study the word, just according to 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith virtue. Receive the word of God in your heart. You have to fortify your heart in the word of God so that you can believe what he said enough to stick with it. And whether all the doubt and unbelief spoken by others. Now this is going to separate you from people who don't want, who give up on what God gave them to do. To finish the vision of the Lord, the second step, the second footnote was, love God more than the vision. Be relentless in the standards and the love of God. Let love be your main thing. The love of God. Scriptural love. Live by scriptural love. Do what Jesus said do. And all that God give you to do will have foundation. Some people's ministry don't have enough foundation because they don't do what Jesus said do. A good place to start is the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, the Word became flesh. When the Word became flesh and he taught his people, he taught them the Sermon on the Mount. This message will heal every part of your life in every area of your life. If you can do what the Word of God said do, if you can do what Jesus taught, remember, Jesus is the Word of God that became flesh. And when he became flesh, he taught the Sermon on the Mount. He taught two messages beside the healing crusades. And they're saying the same thing. They teach you how to love people. They teach you how to do warfare. And you fight the enemy, all his suggestions, his deceptive suggestions, by the pattern he gave us in Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter 4. Every time the enemy gave him a persuaded suggestion, he spoke the word and rebuked it. He didn't just say no, he destroyed that deceptive thought with the word of God. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't just say no. People fail because they hold back. Now, years ago, the Lord was training me. He said, and he called that action something. He said, when people hold back, he said, those are reserves. I said, wow, okay. And last November, he taught me something else. I was leaving church one day, and I thought about the word, and I thought about how people don't always go forward. And I was wondering about it and pondering those thoughts. So when I asked the Lord about it, he said, people don't, they don't meet their full potential because of allowances. And I understood what he was saying. Now, these are the areas they don't do all that they should do. They may not study like they should. The enemy may attack their thoughts and trouble their mind about something. And the word of God is absorbed through the fight. And they just kind of forget about it. But he called them allowances. And I said, well, Lord, how am I going to teach this? I understood what the Lord was saying, but I said, how am I going to teach something like this? And then he gave me the answer. He reminded me of when the enemy was tempting Jesus. He said, if you be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Now, Jesus didn't say no. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, he totally destroyed that fiery dart. Now, these weren't just words coming from Satan. Satan spoke these words with determination, just like we use faith. He used deception. He believes in what he's saying. And there's a strong persuasion with his evil words. Even to the point when Jesus got through fighting him, the angels came and ministered to him. But you can't play with Satan. You have to destroy his words. And you have to have enough word in your own heart so that you can win. He's coming to you trying to persuade you against the heart of God's word, against the works of the Holy Spirit. And you have to turn around and destroy that, because the word of God is alive. His words is dead. He's just a dead man walking. All of his persuasion, all of his lies ain't nothing but death. He makes it seem strong. Destroy it. Love God more than the vision. Love God more than what you're passionate about. Love God more than your success. Now that was the second thought. Now if you don't build with foundation, you can fall. And you may not finish your course. Many are called, but few are chosen. Joseph was chosen. He finished his course. If the Lord lead, we'll read the whole thing. How he won. Continuing. To finish the vision of the Lord, believe God, honoring him by your faith. Love God more than the vision. The third one. Trust the Lord completely throughout the process. Don't be impatient. Don't rush. Just trust the Lord throughout the whole process. Some visions may take your life. Some visions may take years. Some may take months. And some may take days. But however long it takes, it really don't matter. To be effective, trust the Lord completely throughout the process. And you do that by getting to know him. You're not going to trust somebody you don't know. No difference with the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you're not going to trust him right. Believe him. Take him at his word throughout the whole process, and you'll learn to trust him. The fourth step, to finish the vision of the Lord, hear him out. Noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. To finish the vision of the Lord, hear him out, notice his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. Joseph didn't listen to his brother and his parents. He listened to the vision that God gave him. To finish the vision of the Lord. The fifth one is enjoy his presence. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. To finish the vision of the Lord, number seven, receive revelation from him. Contend for the faith. See it through with patience, protecting your dedication. You have to protect the dedication that you have. Don't think just because you're stoked and dedicated today that it's going to always be that way. You will be challenged in every way and in every form. People you trust, love, and respect are going to doubt what you're doing, but you're going to have to do it anyway because people are counting on you. You are somebody's lifeline, and if you fail, they fail too. There was a friend of mine, the Lord told him, gave him rap songs, and he's good at it. He went to his pastor and told the pastor said, no, we don't need to be doing rap in this profession. We don't need to be doing rap. Just stick to the word and preach. He was going to rap the word and it was going to work. Do what God put in your heart. You can't always listen to people that you love. You can't always listen to people you respect. Sometimes they're just wrong. You can't always listen to your parents, and you can't always listen to the Christians and your friends and your family. You're just going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit and see it through. If you're an artist, or you know, if you're a musician, whatever you do for the Lord, if the Lord give you an assignment, people are not going to, he gave you that assignment. If you really want the help from the people, don't tell them the assignment. When they're influenced by the Holy Spirit, without, they don't know your business, they don't know what God's, they will confirm it. Now I've had this to happen. People confirmed what God put in my heart. I didn't tell them what I was going to do. But once they knew what I was doing, they told me not to do it.